Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Local churches come in many flavors, but there is a universal church destined to be with Jesus forever. Its members, those who believed in Jesus as Savior, and then grew in grace and in the knowledge of God. Today, more about the church. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Our focus is on the church we love, where the redeemed who gather know why they are there.
I have a friend who said to a relative, "I'm going to be a pastor of a church." And he named the church, and she was very upset. She says, "I think that the church is full of vipers." He said, "Well, do you think that the world is any better?" And she had to think about that a little bit and said, "No, I guess the world isn't any better." And then he said this, "Here's the difference. We know we're vipers. So we know that we need a Savior, and we know we need God's grace. That's the thing that differs us." From the people of the world. So how did he find us? He found us in sin. What does he do? He decided that he said, "I sure can't marry her the way she looks now, for sure. Because she has to be a perfectly pure bride. So I'm going to work with her, and I'm going to bring her to myself someday, and she shall be without spot, without moral blemish, without wrinkle, without decay of any kind. She has to be pure and holy. In fact, I will not marry her unless she is as holy as I myself am." So God began the process. He begins the process in this life. You'll notice it says, by the washing of the water with the word. That's what it says right there in the last part of verse 26 and verse 27, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish, just like Jesus. That's the agenda that God has, because he says he sure can't marry her. He's engaged to her now. That's one thing, but she's not ready to be married yet. But the day is coming when this bride is going to be married, and my son is going to have somebody to sit with him on the throne. That's where things are going. And someday we're going to be so holy, and we're going to be so without blemish, and we're going to be as pure as Jesus is, with no mixed motives, so that in heaven, if someone is promoted above you, and some will be above us, no doubt, because of faithfulness here on earth, others will be lower because of lack of faithfulness. This is a testing ground to see how much he can entrust you with in the heavenly kingdom. The time is going to come when we will all, though, be holy and without blemish, and with desires that are so pure that when we see those that are exalted above us, we will rejoice in their exaltation as if it were our own. Totally free of wrinkle and blemish and spot and any such thing, the Bible says. Holy. That's the agenda of God. Now, so that is the condition of the church. Now what I want you to do is let's turn to the wedding. Let's see the wedding. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. You'll notice it says in verse 6. Revelation 19, verse 6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Wow. It's time for the wedding, folks. Now we're in heaven, and we're ready. We've been declared to be as pure as Jesus. Not only that happens in this life, but in the life to come, We are so purified now because we have our resurrection body. The rapture has already happened. And by the way, don't even think about not coming back next week when I speak about that, the return of Jesus. So a number of things have happened to us to get us there. First of all, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We stopped trusting ourselves and we trusted Him alone. In fact, listening to me today, maybe on the internet or radio or right here in this sanctuary, there are those of you who have never made that transfer of trust. And maybe you think you have, but part of our ministry as pastors is the reconversion of church members who were never genuinely saved. So have you trusted Him? So that's it. And then you're declared as righteous as Christ is. And then we go and we've already been judged at what we will call the judgment seat of Christ, where only Christians go, but the whole idea of there is to take care of all issues on earth that were left untangled or tangled up. Divorces. Husband walks away from his wife, does terrible things. Both of them are Christians. They walk into heaven. Does God say, ha, 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 let bygones be bygones? No, no, no. That's where it all is dragged out and adjudicated. And justice is brought to the situation. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is then finally and totally applied. And it's not only legally applied now. It is actually true of us that our desires finally are totally pure and holy and righteous because we have our new bodies with brand new desires and sin is gone. The bride is ready because the groom took us out of the pit of sin, cleaned us up, has been cleaning us up all the way through our lives, gives us the final cleanup at the judgment seat of Christ, and now it's time for the wedding. In most weddings, the emphasis is on the bride. Understandably, in this one, the groom gets an awful lot of attention. You'll notice it says in verse 7, let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Let us at that moment, folks, give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Are you going to be excited to give Jesus glory someday? Are you going to be? Wretches that we are, brought out of the pit. Now the wedding. You know, in ancient culture, you never saw the bride. The bride and groom sometimes didn't meet until their wedding day. Well, we haven't seen Jesus, but having not seen him, you love him, the Bible says. We love him though we haven't seen him. But at that time, we'll love him even more intensely because we will be there and we'll actually see him. All right, now, there's something else that needs to happen. You need something to wear because it's the wedding feast, right? I mean, you've got the righteousness of Christ that's brought you there, but what are you going to put on for the wedding? Well, let's read it. It was granted in verse 8 to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen. Are your Bibles open? How many of you have opened Bibles? Oh, God bless you. The rest of you, you have to trust us. See, that's why you should bring your Bible to church, so that you can read along with us. Notice it says, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. When you arrive at the wedding of Jesus as the bride, what you wear is a gown of your own making. The righteousness of Jesus Christ gets you there, but when you're dressed for the wedding, it is your righteous deeds. This is not the righteousness of Christ. Notice it says the righteous deeds, plural, of the saints, plural. You make up your own clothes while you're here on earth. Now, can you imagine how some people are going to be terribly, terribly underdressed? You know, I think only once in my life that I remember clearly did I fret about whether or not I was underdressed. My wife would tell you that she wished I would fret a little bit more often about whether or not I'm underdressed. But have you ever showed up someplace, and I remember once it happened, where I was just woefully underdressed. I thought that this was something very casual and everything, and everybody else was very formal. I was really feeling pretty silly, actually. There are some people who are more concerned about showing up in church properly dressed than they are showing up at the marriage feast properly dressed. You know that? Notice it is of our own making. We're weaving garments. That's what we're doing. You're teaching a Sunday school class. You're mentoring children. You're working with young people. You're giving to the ministry. You're giving to missionaries. You're giving to our CLC, Christian Life Center. You're doing all these things. What are you doing? You're making garments so that you won't show up underclothed at the marriage supper. A couple of observations. First, notice that there is but one church. There's one church. There's one bride. Isn't that beautiful? It's not that Jesus marries one group of people and says, well, you're my bride, you're my bride, you're my bride. No. He's not an adulterer. He's not going to have a number of brides. It's one bride. And it's one bride from, as the book of Revelation says, from every nation and tongue and people, all the different colors of the world, all brought together for that beautiful bride. For the Lord Jesus Christ. One bride. And when we're sitting on the throne, and the Bible does say, he who overcomes, Jesus said, to him I shall grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Wow. Jesus said, you're going to sit with me and you're going to rule with me, and I'm going to be marrying you, and the engagement period is over. The marriage supper has now come, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to be together for all of eternity. And that, my friend, is a long time, a long time. There's but one church. Some people think that, now I know that we have differences. We have differences in theology with other folks who are also going to be there, and our differences are important to us, but that which unites us as members of the body of Jesus Christ is much stronger than that which divides us.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. A moment ago, I was referring to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the church is going to be. In order to be there, we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to us. But then our good works also weave garments. So glad that you have joined us today, and hope that you will join us again next time as I continue this message on the church. It is the church we love.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Church We Love, the ninth message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time, more about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the part each believer will play. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.